Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, it's a very exciting day, as you well know.
It is an exciting day. No.
It is the birthday, first birthday, of our daughter, Charlie Gail McElroy.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Yes. We've told her several times today, but I don't really think...
Not sure she grokked it.
It's clicked.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to understand why we keep singing at her.
But she seems to be happy with her new toy piggy bank and her Potsy the Pot. She seems to enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, overall, she seems pleased with the fact that she got new things today.
Yeah, that seems to have clicked with her. You know, there's so many changes in the first year. I think the one that's probably the most profound and moving to me as a parent is that the things...
We kept her alive this long? Is that...
Yeah, that was an achievement in itself.
Because that's a big thing, like,
yeah,
you know... We did it.
Yay. Not the things you clean up as a parent get grosser, I think, over the first year of life.
I think that's very true. Like, if you start first with the obvious, like when they poop, it's just like, you know, at first it's just like kind of yellow and mustardy and
whatever.
Yeah. And it doesn't smell like anything, really.
Not really, no.
Mm-mm. That is not true after they start eating food.
No.
Then it's like, well, I mean, you probably know because it's like
poop. I used to know what went into her body was just breast milk. So it was like you could only be so freaked out. Now, I don't know what all goes in there. She sneaks a lot of things in there when I'm not looking. Carpet lint.
Yes.
Saltines. Saltine crumbs from the carpet.
She finds like her remnants from earlier. Maybe she remembers where she leaves them.
Yesterday.
Maybe that's intentional.
I looked through her vomit and said, you know, I think those chunks of cheese we're giving her are too big. These don't seem very well chewed. I'm just like staring at it like just 3 a.m. Like,
Charlie's not sick. She just, I think she just got too worked up. And actually that was on her birthday. And so she'd had cake.
Well, today is her birthday. It was her birthday party.
It was on her birthday party. And
anyway,
she'd had cake. Anyway, and so she puked. And like, you really see everything. I mean, she puked all over me.
It's the worst.
So I was intimately familiar with it. Like, I threw the shorts away. Literally, I just threw them away.
Threw them
like,
in the garbage.
They were covered in pieces of meat stick, which that's a... Anyway.
But, you know, cleanup, I think, her keeping her hygiene straight is the biggest change, I think, over the past year.
Well, you know, Justin.
And more hair. Also more hair.
Well, yeah, that too. But hygiene is very important.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because if I've been wasting my time cleaning up after her vomit, then I would be very frustrated, I think.
No. You have not been wasting your time. We've known for a long time that cleaning ourselves in different ways to various degrees is important. And I think that may be an interesting thing to talk about.
Do it then, Sydney.
All right. Well, let's talk about some hygiene. I want to thank several people who suggested this topic. Thank you, Lauren, Annie, and Russell. Hygiene, the word hygiene, comes from the Greek goddess of health, Hygieia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because if you think about it, why? Because I'm going to talk about some old, you know, ancient hygiene practices. But why do we as a species naturally tend to, you know, clean ourselves? Why do we think that's important?
I don't know. I mean, I would think that it just feels right. It feels better than being dirty, I think.
A lot of people have looked into this to see, is there some connection, is there some evolutionary advantage to feeling gross, you know, so to speak, to getting yucked out at yourself and to wanting to get cleaned up?
Your own filth.
Yeah, and the thought is that there probably is an evolutionary advantage, because when you're growing, you know, like fungal infections, or if there's bacterial infections stewing places on your body, it smells bad. And so the, you know, the quest for no BO is probably, you know, ingrained in our DNA as a quest to remove possibly disease causing organisms.
Hmm.
And that's indicated by the fact that ants clean themselves.
Really?
To remove fungus, like little fungal organisms that grow on them. The ants clean them. Spiny lobsters will actually avoid other lobsters when they have viral infections. So they'll stay away from lobsters that may be gross. And bees actually leave the hive to go to the bathroom. Like to, you know, have a number two. A bee number two.
How polite.
Yeah, they don't want to contaminate it.
That's very mannerly of bees. I already thought a lot of them, because I really like the honey sriracha glaze from Pizza Hut. But now I'm like way more than bees.
I don't know that bees invented that.
No, well, they didn't invent it, but they play an integral role.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's contrary to, I think, the human inclination to return home, you know, for your private bathroom time.
Yeah, for your
to make a bathroom.
Secret bathroom.
Most fish, birds, and mammals clean themselves and their area, you know, their nests or their hives or their, you know, huts or hovels or whatever, in some way. So it's not just humans. Everybody tends to stray towards cleanliness. They've even seen chimpanzees cleaning each other, specifically mommy and daddy chimpanzees cleaning off baby chimps' butts after they poop.
How sweet.
So, yeah. So this is something that, I mean, you know, it goes beyond social construct, most likely. For us, like I said, the way that it manifests is probably disgust. When we see something that we identify as like, that's gross, that's yucky, it's probably because it causes some kind of illness. And so we're biologically programmed to say, blah, stay away from that, mm-hmm. or get it off me.
Yeah. Yucky, yucky.
They've done a lot of studies to try to figure out what we think is yucky. Like showed people pictures of things and said like, is this yucky or is this yucky? And
anchovies, dirt, mushrooms.
Are these yucky things?
Other people's pee-pee. Yeah, those are some yucky things I know about. I could go for literally minutes naming yucky things. Don't test me.
You know what? You can do your own separate episode later, which is just you naming yucky things.
For a half hour.
For a half hour.
Do some ASMR stuff. Who would love that?
It seems also that they found that younger people...
Stale chips.
You're going to keep doing this throughout the...
No, okay. I promise I'm not.
They've also found that younger people...
Rotten cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is our show. And women are more susceptible, maybe, to yucky feelings. And then there was some thought as like, is that because women are involved in like carrying children, bearing children, so they need to be yucked out by things more easily so they can stay healthier?
Wow, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So we can further the species, you know?
I'll take your word for it. I tend to not comment on things like this.
I don't know. Well, it's an interesting idea.
Right.
Although I would say between the two of us, you are much more easily yucked out than me.
Yeah, probably. But, like, you're kind of a special case because you have cut people open a lot of times.
I wouldn't say a lot of times because I'm not a surgeon, so that kind of makes me sound like a serial killer.
Okay, fair enough. Enough times, more times than me?
Yes,
by
well,
a fair margin.
I would hope so.
Yep.
As far back as the Paleolithic era, you see like devices that people kind of made to like tweeze, you know, their eyebrows and trim their beards and whatnot, which was probably a way to remove parasites, you know, lice and stuff. So, you know, why else would you shave your hair? Well, it may have also been hot, I guess. But mainly to get
maybe
bugs
just want
off.
A new look. Come on. That's crazy. The only reason you shave your head is because of disease. That's wild. I know a lot of bald guys with a Z that would be really upset by that.
Soap dates way back to Babylonian times. But the Greeks and the Romans tended to use oil instead to clean themselves. They just preferred that method. They thought it felt better. You know, we've talked about that before. The Romans especially rubbing themselves.
More erotic.
Exactly.
More erotically charged.
It's much more erotic. The Romans, of course, also had a plumbing system as well as public baths. So, you know, hygiene, the idea of bathing and a waste removal system, even some toilets that would have like flowing water underneath them, a way to get rid of that was already kind of a concept, you know, that far back. And again, this is before we had any idea of why it was important to stay away from from, you know, human waste. They also would use, they didn't have toilet paper, of course, and in lieu of that, they would use a sponge on a stick.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. They get you really clean, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And what a great feeling, too. Can't feel fresher than that.
Is that true? Do you know that?
I bet. I bet you can't feel fresher than that.
I don't know where you keep that, but just make sure I never find it.
Deal.
There was also sometimes if you didn't have a really fancy sponge on a stick, you could also use little ceramic pebbles.
To what? Like they exfoliate?
Pessoy?
Like those salt scrubs you get it
to clean your
Bath and Body Works?
No, like to clean your butt after you go to the bathroom.
Just rub it on some rocks, like a dog.
Yeah, just use some rocks. And they even note three should be sufficient. Don't get too ostentatious with your rock usage. Mm-hmm. Like three pebbles should take care of it, I guess, for most people.
And don't go skipping those stones across the pond. We swim in there. That's foul.
I read an interesting historical side note that some of these pebbles, pessoy, may have originally been what was called ostraca, which were pieces of ceramic on which, if you wanted to vote somebody out of town, if everybody hated somebody, you could all write down names on little ceramic stones and turn them in, and then I guess if they had enough votes, they would get voted out of town. So, and that's where the word ostracized comes from.
And also where the show Survivor comes from.
Well, I thought about that. So it's kind of like Survivor, except if afterwards you use the paper where you wrote the name down to wipe your butt.
Maybe they do. There's a lot of editing that happens in those shows. We don't know what happens behind the scenes.
But, you know, we're talking the Romans up pretty well here. They also, although they did have a plumbing system, they also were not that afraid of, you know, dirt and being dirty and kind of the idea that you were sweaty and needed a shower or a bath, because it was known that they would sell the dirt and the sweat and the oil that they would, collect in little vials off of famous athletes to people to use as face cream.
Oh, that's where Axe Body Spray comes from. A lot of people don't know that.
We're going to get a nasty letter from Axe Body Spray.
Let him come at me.
There's also some evidence, if you look back in ancient writings, there are a lot of different thinkers who advise that you stay away from sick people, with this basic idea that there's something out there that can make you sick. The Ebers Papyrus also mentions soap. It was made back before we knew. I mean, we kind of always knew how to make soap. We used to make it out of water and these alkali salts, and you could use either an oil or an animal fat. So, you know, we've known how to make salt for a long time. Pliny was the first one of our favorite characters.
Good old Pliny.
Pliny the Elder, who talked about soap or it was called sapo, which really is just the word for soap.
Yeah, it just mixed up the P and the O. Yeah.
Noting that it was made from tallow and ashes. However, Pliny says this is really, you know, it doesn't have a lot of uses. Unlike a lot of other things that Pliny would be like, oh, this is good for everything. No, soap was good for hair pomade.
A great look. I mean, that's true. It's weird that he didn't see the benefits of soap, and yet he was so hot on like fox hair mixed up with grease.
Well, he kind of wrote about it scornfully, like, all these men today with their fancy soap hair.
Maybe that was the only thing he could figure out to do with it. Like, what is this?
In my day, we just shaved our heads.
because of lice. Apparently, and lice.
There's a story that there was a Mount Sapo where, and that this is where soap comes from, that there's this mountain where animals were sacrificed. And because the animals were killed there and burned, that there was this collection of animal fat and ashes that kind of flowed from the mountain, and that people gathered that up, and that was the creation of soap.
How fascinating. I never knew that origin story of soap.
Well, that's not true.
Oh, well, I've forgotten it instantly.
And it's a cool story. I wish it was true.
What story? I've already banished it from my mind.
Just keep thinking of gross things that you can tell me about later.
Coming up after the break. Gum on the bottom of your chair. Hate that. Who put it there? Not me.
Galen had the revolutionary idea of using the soap that Pliny talked about as hair pomade for washing oneself. Even noting that if you wanted the best soap, you would go to the Germans And if you wanted the second best soap, you would go to Gaul or France.
Gaul, that was your town motto for a long time. Gaul, home of the second best soap. When you can't make it to Germany, turn to Gaul.
Their soap's pretty good.
Their soap's okay.
For washing. And it's also something that you'll find in many major religious texts, the idea that there should be certain, you know, cleansing rituals, or at least, you know, keep yourself clean. And that's also where we kind of, we've talked about before, the idea of a miasma theory of disease, like the disease is kind of floating around in the air, and that if you inhale these foul airs that you'll get sick. It initially was a religious term. It referred to a stain or a sin of some kind, something that offended the gods or God. But eventually it became associated with disease. And you see this kind of linkage in religious texts where there's this bad, you know, you need to cleanse yourself to, you know, spiritually cleanse yourself. But you also need to literally, like, take a bath and a shower because God likes that.
Yeah, God approves.
Hand washing was actually a thing long before we understood why we were doing it, but really just before meals. But it was suggested that before you go sit down and eat, you wash your hands.
Why are they doing it?
My guess would be that this is a time when there were a lot of people with really dirty hands.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be just a visual thing, if nothing else, right? Like, your hands look dirty. You've been working on your farm all day or whatever.
Right, and you actually have, like, particles that you can see of things on your hands. So you're not washing it with the intention that I'm going to remove disease-causing bacteria and viruses. You're washing your hands because you don't want to get, like, cow poop on your food. Probably.
Like, just because of the theory of germ... Well, just because germ theory wasn't a thing yet doesn't mean, like, dirty wasn't. Like, people still understood dirty. You don't have to be particularly advanced to get that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even as we're going to talk about a time when bathing wasn't a cool thing to do, because there is a time period where bathing falls greatly out of favor, you know, unlike, like, we have the Romans and all of these public baths and everybody likes these long, kind of sensual, kind of orgy-esque bathhouses. And then we move into a long period of time where that's not cool. People are still washing their hands, which is good because we usually ate with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
However, after a while, we kind of move a step backwards from the sponge on the stick idea. That kind of fades.
Things got worse from that.
Things got worse. Advancement. And then you see people using, in addition to, like, stones that we mentioned, like corn cobs and leaves, snow, seashells, grass, animal fur, or just your hands if you had nothing else. So
what's next? What's next time period?
Well, before I take you there, Justin, will you come with me to the billing department?
Let's go. So, Sid, medieval times, what was going on there in regards to cleanliness?
So when people think about, like, because there's a lot of talk about how back in the olden days, olden times.
The olden people, times.
Yes. Olden, what do we call them? Olden people? Whatever we... Old-timey people.
Old-timey people.
Old-timey people in the olden times. There's a lot of talk about how gross they were, and this is usually what people were talking about.
Much of it on this program.
Yeah, we joke about that a lot. Some of it is not well-founded, and then some of it is. So in medieval times, bathing started to fall out of fashion somewhat. Initially, as we enter the medieval period, it was okay, but it wasn't done in big public bathhouses. Those start to fall out of fashion, and you see those slowly being closed, especially by, like, the churches. The church got involved, and part of it was in an effort to stop syphilis.
Excellent.
So you start seeing the closing of public bathhouses for that reason. But it was still okay to take a bath, and in fact, a married couple's first bath together was a really important part of, you
really
know, like,
crowded
a,
part of their really uncomfortable honestly part of their, yeah.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying that medieval tubs were probably not the spacious,
oh, okay,
luxurious tubs, and maybe, like, you know, they're waiting all night for this night, and then they're like, move your elbow. I love you, but please just move your arm. I'm suffocating.
Are we done yet? There's even, I guess there's a fresco of a married couple having their first bath together in the town hall in San Gimignano. Say that for me, Justin.
Oh, San Gimignano.
Italy.
Italy. A town in Italy. You could just write a town in Italy.
There's a town in Italy.
They're your notes.
And what? And you want me to make it up?
Just write. No, just say there's a town hall in a small town in Italy.
I'm trying to be accurate.
You're not. You just failed miserably. You made me try to be accurate for you.
Over time, this favorable view of bathing started to change. This is because of a couple of things. First, you would only have access to what we would consider like a proper bath if you were rich or probably royalty. Otherwise, you may not have had a bathtub or certainly the means to get all the water you would need to fill it up because, I mean, obviously you didn't have plumbing.
Right.
So if you were royalty, your bath would involve you climbing into your very fancy copper tub that was lined with something very soft. And you would sit in there naked while servants came bucket by bucket, heating up water and then dumping it into the tub around you. And probably with some scented oils, and it would be very luxurious and take a very long time.
Sounds nice.
Now, if you couldn't afford
what it sounds like to me is like a dish soap commercial, like just a guy imagining himself in that scenario, you know,
while he's washing dishes.
Well, he's like, you think it's that, then it's like smash cut to him like inhaling the bottle of like Dawn or something. It's like, this is where it's just whisked me away to.
This is the new Calgon ad.
Yeah, we bought a bottle of Dawn that was like Mango Beach Vacation. And it's like, I really, if you need to be whisked away by the scent of your dishwashing detergent, you should probably like try to reprioritize. Like, just do, like, really, if you need that for, like, if that's your, like, if that's your bit of serenity in the world, it's like, oh God, let's get these dishes clean. Like, I really, really need to reorganize.
Or just start, you know, saving up a little bit at a time and go to the beach.
That said, I still bought it. So, like, where am I at? I don't know. I'm a moving target, folks.
So, like I said, if you couldn't afford these very fancy bathtubs that you're dreaming of, well, Justin's dreaming of while he's washing dishes mm-hmm. later, then you may have, like, a modest, smaller tub in your home that you could go through the time and trouble of filling up for yourself, or maybe even a barrel. Ugh. If you didn't have anything else.
God, I always want to take a bath in a barrel. There's nothing funnier than that to me.
If you did have a bathtub like this, but you weren't a royal person, then you're probably going to share that bath water with your family because you went through a lot of time and effort. If you did bother to get it heated up, to get it all heated up and fill up this big tub, and then you're going to have to empty it all out. So what would happen is that Dad would get first crack at the tub, and then Mom. And then it just kind of goes down the line from there, starting with the oldest child all the way down to the youngest, who goes last mm-hmm. in the dirtiest of dirty bathwater, which is where the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, comes from.
How nice. And also...
No, that's not nice.
Well, that's very nice to know, but that's crazy that they were making their... Hey, baby, you ready to get that immune system cranked? Hey, baby. Time to activate that vitamin C that you're not getting.
We would at least be in okay. We would have been in okay positions as the oldest children, you know.
I guess.
I mean, we just have to go right in the middle.
Bathe in your mom and dad's filth. That's doing well.
Think about Riley and Griffin. They're at the bottom of this chain.
Right. That's a lot of, ugh, this is yucking me out. Can we move on to another thing?
So, okay. So maybe you're lucky enough to not be able to afford that. Then you don't have a bathtub at all. So you may go your whole life and never be fully submerged in water.
Ugh.
In which case you would just kind of dab at yourself with like a damp cloth and whatever water you had access to when you had the time, and then you would probably just put on a lot of something floral, something mm-hmm. scented to try to hide all the, you know, the icky smell.
We're obviously talking, I would guess, here in places that are landlocked. If you're living on the water, as a lot of people did, I imagine there's, you know, it's a lot easier to keep up with this stuff.
Absolutely. And you see that. You see people who live on rivers or lakes or oceans, certainly, you know, actually going out and taking baths that way. For the most part, not all the time though. Mm. We'll talk about that. But let's talk about that now, because that's the other reason you wouldn't have bathed. So let's say you did have a tub, but you may not have bathed anyway for moral reasons.
Oh, really?
So there was a period of time where the idea of getting naked and immersing yourself in water was considered kind of unholy.
Like, why?
The idea that just it could lead you to sin, because, you know, you were naked and feels good to be in the water.
Yeah, I get this. There's a lot of times I catch a glimpse of myself fresh out of the shower and think, look at you. Time to get some sinning done. That is what I think.
There was a lot of association with the public bathhouses as part of why this happened, and those were seen as places of sin. But just in general, there was this belief that once you were kind of exposed and submerged in water, that the devil could get in. And so, you know, there was also some health concern that, like, you were more susceptible to disease if you were naked in water.
Because it could, like, swim in. We didn't know anything.
No, we didn't. We were just guessing. We thought water carried disease. Well, which was sometimes true.
Yeah, fair.
But that you would get it if you got in a bathtub. And so there were some people who maybe even could have had access to a tub but didn't. So so it became like for instance, there were a lot of monasteries where the monks recognized that they should clean themselves somewhat. And so, like, it would become part of the ritual, like, twice a year you would take a bath.
And they would just, like, chain themselves up like Wolfman. Like, listen, I'm going to come to you when I'm fresh out of that bath. I'm going to say a lot of things. I'm going to say that I want to be gluttonous. I want to eat too much. I want to stay up past my bedtime. You can't let me do any of this. Okay. just chain me down. Wait till the impulses pass.
Wait till I get dirty again.
Wait till I'm dirty again.
And then I'll be fine.
Give me my robes and let's go pray together.
Another way that your life was probably better if you were royalty, which is probably always true about everything,
yeah,
right?
Most everything, yeah.
But particularly hygiene, is that you may have had a toilet of sorts if you were royalty. They actually had, like, little rooms with kind of basically like a board with a hole in it over a bigger hole that emptied into the moat.
Cool. That's going to keep out those intruders.
So think about that. That's what's in that moat. You know, all the storybooks, you think they're alligators? Nope. Much worse.
Or mean alligators, also.
They're very angry.
Angry.
They're angry about what's happening.
I hate people.
I'm angry about it in retrospect.
Yeah, it's poor gross. Things.
However, if you weren't royal, then for these purposes, you probably just dug a hole and then you buried it afterwards. If you were the king, not only would you have a toilet, you may have a royal potty chair, so to speak. Like, you can find pictures of these, like, these really nice ornate like chairs with holes in them. They look like bedside potty chairs that you'd have if you were, like, in the hospital, or, you know, you couldn't make it back and forth to the bathroom. Yeah. Only really nice, like, not made out of, like, PVC pipe. Like, they're really nice. But in addition to this, you would also have someone whose job it was to clean you up afterwards. They were known as the groom of the stool.
Okay.
And their entire job was to wipe the king's butt after he was done.
But you hate to see that answer on the career aptitude test, huh? This is what you're best suited for? Oh, man. I was hoping for at least engineer.
No, in fact, you would love to see that. It was a highly prized position because a lot of noblemen who start, well, and noblemen, they were usually very young when they would be given this position, would ascend to being the king's, like, private steward.
That's, like, pretty much the definition of a rags to riches tale, huh?
Yeah. Well, they would know the king's most intimate secrets, so they usually became the king's most trusted, you know,
our buddy. Beloved leader loves corn. Only so I gross. Know how much he enjoys corn. Okay,
we have to move on. Now. I can't talk about this anymore.
Please move on.
Okay, so all of these things, you know, this fear of bathing and people don't have toilets, this persisted. And the 18th century in particular was a pretty smelly time. No one bathed very often, at least. There was no deodorant. Most people, if they didn't go, you know, out to the bathroom and bury it outside, they would have a chamber pot under their bed where they would, you know, pee and other things. And then, of course, I think we all know where those things were emptied. We've all heard those stories.
Sure. Into the river safely.
No, tossed out your window into the street.
Right. That's what I meant.
Toilet paper proper didn't show up until about the 1880s.
Really the hero of this particular tale.
So until then, people are still using anything they can find, including their hands. Bed bugs were everywhere, despite the fact that beds were consistently wiped down with kerosene. People were constantly covered with bugs. A lot of this had to do with, like, there were thatched roofs, and thatched like straw floors in a lot of places, and so that didn't particularly keep the bugs out, mm-hmm. you know, especially over top. So it was not uncommon for bugs to fall from the ceiling, and all kinds of manner of creatures to fall from the ceiling into your food, onto your hair, onto whatever. That's actually why canopy beds became so popular.
Oh.
They protect you from all the bugs that could fall on you at night. Oh. The streets were filled with animal dung.
Take some of the romance out of them.
Yes, I know. They have a whole new look now.
Yeah.
Most people had lice. No one did much of anything to their teeth. And we won't even talk about women and menstrual care because that's a whole... We already did a whole episode on that. But it was no fun either.
Fair enough.
In the 19th century, bathing habits may have been even worse, if you can believe it. I mean, this is really the time period where people are just never in water. But we do have toilet paper by now. So we start to see chamber pots fade away a little bit. And even deodorant now exists. Whoa. So as a culture, we're getting a little less smelly. And then as we move into the 20th century, we have the germ theory of disease. We start to understand bacteria. We start Semmelweis, who we have referenced many times and never really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We will. But we start to wash our hands a little more. We start bathing a little more regularly. And then, you know, we start to see hygiene improving at this point. It also helps when we start changing houses to like wood and concrete and stuff like that.
Sure.
So that, you know, bugs aren't constantly coming in your house. A couple interesting facts. One is that most people in the time period when you would only bathe once a year or twice a year, maybe, most people used to bathe in May. I don't know why that was the bathing month, but May was the most popular month for baths, which is why June became the wedding month.
Oh.
Because you weren't that smelly yet.
Right. You're still relatively clean.
It's also part of why brides carry flowers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. To cover up whatever smell they may
have.
You're
so full of trivia tonight. I'm really enjoying the trivia on this episode.
Many people would only have had 4 outfits. They would wear one a season. This contributed to the overall...
Yeah. Stinkiness.
Stinkiness. And anytime you see a portrait of someone with a really elaborate wig... You should probably think about all the lice that's hiding in there.
I'd rather not. Thanks.
You know, it's interesting. Now we're kind of moving away. I mean, obviously, most people bathe and wash their hands, and we have toilet paper and plumbing, and, you know, we understand the importance of clean water and all those things. But there's a movement slightly away from hygiene now, as the idea that we got too hypersensitive about germs. I think we've kind of alluded to this before.
Mm-hmm.
But that we all have like a normal bacterial population that lives in us, mm-hmm. our bacterial flora, that I've mentioned this before. I think you're more bacteria than human. You have more bacterial cells than human cells.
I know they're so happy to return to this fact. So happy to hear that again.
And that's important. You need those bacteria. They do all kinds of things for you, and they protect you from worse bacteria, which is why we're, you know, like Jamie Lee Curtis is telling you to eat yogurt.
From my poops.
Yes, exactly. That's where probiotics came from. And the hygiene hypothesis, again, I think we've talked about this, where like if you're too clean, then maybe that's where we get like allergies and asthma. And this is also why people tell you to, we didn't really talk about this, to eat honey for allergies. The idea that you're exposing yourself through like local honey. So if it's honey from your area, you're exposing yourself through the honey to like local allergens and things. And then you're less likely to develop allergies. You're less likely to suffer from allergies to them.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we got too carried away. Maybe we're too clean.
You know what? I'm happy where we're at. Maybe we could scale back a little bit, but I don't need to. I just know I'd be a groom of the stool. I just know me. That's where I would end up. I don't need to return to those days. Sid, we're going to be just like a couple weeks from now. We're going to be in the Pacific Northwest.
That's right.
Portland, Vancouver, and Seattle. Not in that order. Portland, Seattle, Vancouver is the order. Portland sold out. Sorry about that. But we still do have tickets, although they're going pretty fast. They're starting to pick up because the shows are getting fairly close. Tickets are still available for Seattle. These are shows with my brother, me, the Vice podcast with my brothers. So the address to get those tickets is bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle. And bit.ly/VanMBMBAM. So tickets are like $20, I think, something like that. And we'll be there. We're selling some cool new posters and stuff like that. But it's going to be fun. So if you could come out to those shows, we'd love to see you.
Yeah. And we're bringing along my little sister, Riley.
Mm-hmm. And Chuck. Chuck's probably there.
Yeah.
But he probably won't see her. Hopefully she'll be asleep. If she's not asleep yet, we have failed as parents. which is possible. Thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. You should go patronize them. Just Google them. Go buy all their stuff. And thanks to the Max Fun Network for having us on. I want to tell you about a new show, Sid. It's called Can I Pet Your Dog? It's about dogs. First episode features...
That's a good title for a show about dogs.
Yeah, first show about dogs. First episode features our buddy Lin-Manuel Miranda, creator of the huge smash Broadway hit Hamilton, talking about his dog, Toby. And it's produced by my brother Travis. So it's a good show, and you should listen to it. And that's going to do it for us, Sid.
Yeah, and make sure and wish Charlie a happy birthday in your thoughts tonight as you're falling asleep.
Send out
those good birthday vibes to Charlie.
Until next Wednesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.